What got you into this industry in the first place?
I think the same thing everybody else. I liked drawing when I was a kid, and I'm the one that didn't stop, you know? I also think I really like working just with my head down by myself a lot, so it gives you a lot of, like, alone time in a constructive way, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, somewhat healthy.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you have any advice for aspiring artists that might want to get into this type of, this line of work?
Just find something that you like to do and just make it a habit, something you can work on every day. Don't worry about other people telling you you have to do it this way and you have to learn this, and you just follow a path that you enjoy and be dedicated to what you like to do, and you're going to be the artist that you want to be ultimately when you grow up, or put in your 10,000 hours.
Now let's talk a little bit about your career so far. Give me what are some of your favorite moments, we'll call them, issues, that sort of thing.
I've had a lot of luck working with some really great writers and colorists, and I think my first big break with a Marvel book that was sort of my own was Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, and that was sort of the first thing that people knew me for. I've done a lot of great stuff, Spider-Man and Deadpool, Power Man, Iron Fist. Recently I did this miniseries for MODOK, which is a very obscure 60s sort of villain character that looks ridiculous in the light of day.
The square dude.
A big
the round dude
with the floating little arms and feet. But the writing team from the TV show that they've just done, Patton Oswalt and Jordan Bloom, were my writers on the comic book. And so we got to sort of treat it like its own little like MODOK movie, you know, and it was very satisfying to have this obscure like little weirdo that we could like kind of flesh out and make our own.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it's the thing that like I've gotten so much feedback on, this obscure weird, you know, who's heard of MODOK,
yeah,
you know, but
the
I get so much love from the diehard fans, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so now the Deadpool question,
sure.
What I'm going to say is, what has been your experience, your observations in the history of Deadpool, starting off in the comics and rising to stardom, we'll call it, and then the movies, taking it in a whole different direction. What did you observe as this took place?
Well, I didn't really feel like it was a different direction. I think it was like just plugging in some wattage into what Deadpool already is. But the sort of like fourth wall breaking and the like the ironic sort of undercurrent of everything, and he's like he's not taking anything seriously. That's a thing that's been sort of building and evolving in the Deadpool character in the comic books this whole time. And then Ryan Reynolds just sort of put a face to it that felt like really authentic, and I think it just sort of like lit up people's imagination to be able to feel like they really know the character now. Like even non-comic book people can just, they if you say Deadpool, they really understand who that character is pretty well. So it's more that like suddenly the comic books feel like the general public has read 100 comic books and just know the character like we do.
Now, so final question, and the fact that you're a Canadian working in this industry, what's that experience like being based in Canada? Is there limitations, or does it?
Not in my experience.
No?
I mean, comic books has become global.
Yeah.
Canada is a foreign market, I guess, to America, but half of the people I know are from Brazil or Italy or France or Hong Kong or Japan. Like it's an international industry now, and like the community of artists, there's still only going to be a few hundred, you know, mainstream comic book artists.
Sure.
But those few hundred people all used to live in New York, and now they can live anywhere in the world.
Globally accessible.
So it feels like there's nowhere that comics doesn't reach anymore. I don't know if that changes how a Canadian experience is getting work. There's certainly nothing, there's no barrier to finding the editors and finding exposure being a Canadian. I know literally dozens of some of the best in the world that are, you know, I work beside every day, and I can run across in the streets of Toronto on a regular basis.
Look at that. You're done.